I thought we might go Sunday night, Wednesday night, until we got all of them in, but that message didn't totally develop as far as what God wanted me to do tonight. So take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 6. And I'm not going to lie to you. I understand that daylight savings time has put a whooping on us today. I'm tired. You're tired. But, I've been looking at this throughout this week, and I think in Galatians chapter 6, Paul, he's writing a letter. But I want you guys to think of it. I don't know, most people don't write letters anymore. We send emails and texts and different things like that. I think Paul is hitting some bullet points right here in Galatians 6. That last part of the letter, he's hitting them with, you need to know this, and you need to know this, and this will help you right here. Wouldn't that be awesome to have a man of God who's wrote 14 epistles of the New Testament sit down and just give you some bullet points on what to do as a church and how to operate? Sometimes you just, I like a lot of information, different topics. Sometimes I'll get water one topic for an hour. I'll top, but if you give me several bullet points, and sometimes it's kind of like my wife sends me to the grocery store with a list, it's almost like a mission. You know what I mean? Y'all are tired. I get it. But you know, I'm like, I get this and this and this. Now, if sometimes I leave something off the list, but that's a whole nother time to talk about. If I killed enough time to get y'all to Galatians chapter 6, when you go into the, Kevin's going to the grocery thing we've got too far. Brethren, if any man partaken, is that where y'all are at? Y'all are seeing that? And I encourage you, and I know that most of y'all don't do this, but if you want to take some notes on this, and if you don't take notes tonight, go back and listen to this thing, because I believe there's going to be some meat in here for you. I know I've got about six big-time points that I want to make, but there's some stuff in here that you might want to write down that you're going to run into in your Christian life. And you're going to need this information, because if you don't, you're going to make some mistakes and you're going to have to come back and you're going to have to redo this, okay? So let's get in this. This first one's going to be a monster. I love it. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, that fault is a sin or a trespass. Matter of fact, it's a Christian who's done something wrong, a brethren. Whew. All right, so that takes away our perfect status, right? You are spiritual. Underline that, highlight that if you're one of them radical Christians who write in your Bible. You which are spiritual, restore such an one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Man, that's so good. Because the church that I was raised in, the church that I was growing up, sometimes people who acted like they were spiritual would not restore someone. Amen? They were super spiritual if like they would never act like they would ever need restoring. And if somebody messed up, it was almost like a ladder to step on them to step up. God, I'm sorry, I ain't got no filter tonight. I don't. My filter, it left this morning when I got up because I was tired. But sometimes we can act like we're super spiritual, but when somebody makes a fail, then we can say, I would never do that. Right? Or, I can't believe they did that. But that's not what Paul says in the Bible. He said, those that are spiritual, start the restoration on these people. My gosh. He said, if you are spiritual, you will start to restore. When you restore something, you take something that was once new and it's got some flaws, you go and try to take out the... My gosh, I'm not a builder, but you take out the flaws and make it like it was new or... Yeah, better. Right? Better. Y'all have watched enough of these restoration shows on cable TV, right? The big reveal at the end. You know what I'm talking about? They go in and they say, look at this house. And you look at the house and you're like, don't buy the house. It's a piece of junk. But these restoration people come in. Man, I could preach a whole message just right here. They dig into that house. And sometimes they find some other stuff. If somebody dug into your life right now, they think the restoration is on the outside or the exterior. But if they dug around, they'd find it goes all the way down to the foundation. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good. That's good. If somebody dug around on me, Mark, that I'd find out that there might be something wrong with the foundation. There might be some stuff that's behind the veneer. You know, we put veneers up sometimes, don't we, in our lives? You know, have you ever heard of somebody dug down, they took up the carpet, they took up that, next thing you know, they found they had something good down below that, amen? That's what they're talking about, restore, hey, in the spirit of meekness. You can tell somebody the truth. You can tell them. You can help them. You can encourage them. But in the spirit of meekness, they'll know what the spirit sounds like. And man, and it says, because you're going to be tempted one day. You could be in that same position. We don't see ourselves like that, but God said the spiritual ones will be looking to restore those who've messed up. It'll tell you what kind of Christian you are how you look at somebody else's messed up situation. Amen? Because this ain't me, this is Paul. This is the one that wrote the 14 epistles to the New Testament church. This is God speaking, this is God breathing to us. And he's saying, look, if you see somebody tripped up in a man, don't count them as a casualty. We're bad about that as a church, and we shoot our own wounded. You can no longer be a part with us. My goodness, that's crazy talk. We need to be down there figuring out how can we fix this mess. Not, oh, I can't believe. Right? That's not, it don't say that here, right? It don't say, see the mess, then demolish the mess, and hopefully a better person will come and take that person's place. That's what we're hoping for. You know what scares me more than anything in the world? Not a broken Christian and not a broken lost person. It's the people that come and they look perfect. And they come, we'll come to join your churches. You're like, why? Well, because, you know, we got it all together. Well, where'd you come from? Oh, never mind. I better not preach that. I'll get in trouble. Amen? Well, we came from the last four churches that we demolished and destroyed, and we came here to do it here. Oh, I'm sorry. Woo! You ain't got no filter. You might not like me after tonight. I don't know. Verse 2, bear you one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That means love yourself. Love your neighbors. That's the full law. Listen, if you love your neighbors yourself, you'll be filling the whole law. Amen? Because if you love your neighbors yourself, you know you already love God. Because if you don't love God, you can't love your neighbors yourself. Amen? Bear your... I never had a life until I got saved. And I start, man, I'm telling you, it is, as you get older, some of you that are older, isn't it better to see somebody else start to get it and come along and do good in their walk of faith? I'd almost rather watch somebody else grow as a Christian than to watch myself sometimes. Just to see somebody get better. And you're sitting there going, my goodness, that's awesome, right? And all it took was you to come into their life and help them carry some of the junk they was carrying, or at least carry it to Christ, right? Bars rule, come to Jesus, amen? The next thing is, hey, love others as yourself. That's simple stuff. People rack their brains. What do I've got to do? How do I get quiet? It's simple. Love him, love them. Love God. I just made a bumper sticker and a t-shirt in 10 seconds. Love him, love them. Go ahead. Go ahead and knock it out. Get your t-shirt made and tell everybody you can with it. Here. Verse 3. For if I hire a pen, good job. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing worse than somebody who's lying to themselves. Amen? There ain't nothing. Walking around boasting of how great thou art. Amen? If that's your theme song in your head, there's something wrong with you. Amen? Oh, I'm great. Everybody's, they're still, they can't ever marked up to me. Guess what? Praise, Paul says, hey, if you think you're something, when you're, listen, if people, if you're too busy, if you're too good to help somebody, you got the worst, you got worse problem than the person that's hurt. Amen? Too, hey, I'm too special to do that. But then if you don't even think, they ain't worth it. That's an even more dangerous spot. They're not that, hey, they don't deserve. Man, I want to keep a firm reminder of where I came from, who I really am, and what God's doing for me. And that'll keep me out of that situation right there and keep you out of it. I love this. Provide his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. When I first started reading the Bible, I read that, and I've done it a couple of times since then, just to be frank and honest with you. Wait a minute. Did he just contradict him? Did he just go? One, he's like, help, help, help. And all of a sudden now he says, now carry your own problems. Oh, really? Tell me like that's crazy. But let every man prove, and then shall he rejoice against himself alone, and not in another. He's jumped to another bullet point. But what he's saying is, life is like being a soldier, and you're accountable for your gear, okay? One of the most important pieces of gear when you're in the military, when I was in it, it was your backpack or your rucksack or whatever you want to call it, amen? Like some of you guys that go hiking, it's important to have your backpack. Is that correct? Because it has all your stuff in it. And listen, if you leave your stuff laying around and you get 5 miles down the road, and everybody go, hey, let's get a ham sandwich or let's get something to drink. You go, wait a minute. Who is responsible for that? You are, right? Listen, sometimes we get in some bad places in life. This is where the other part comes along. Now, if your brother or sister who's hiking with you or in the military with you or wherever is with you, all of a sudden they don't have anything to drink. They're destitute because they left their backpack somewhere. Preaching. And that's when you walk up and say, here, I got extra water. Now, while as we're walking back for your knuckleheaded self to find that backpack, you can say knucklehead if you're handing them water and food. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, but I'm just kidding about that part. But I'm just telling you, listen, when you're doing that, you're helping. But this, the person, listen, I'm really preaching right here. If you get a hold of this, it'll set you free. You don't get to blame everybody for your condition or your situation. You was responsible for that. You messed up. You dropped the ball. You left your pack. You left your backpack or whatever it is in your life. You made some mistakes. You made some messes. Don't wear everybody else with that. If somebody comes along and helps you, guess what? Take responsibility for your lump in life. Hallelujah. But I could just leave right now and wouldn't say we had a good time at church. Most people sit around are a victim of every situation and never taking their role in. And, well, I had a divorce, or I had this, or I lost my job. And them people, a bunch of hypocrites, done their job. Well, I bet you was just the best person in the world to work with. You're a dandy to go to church with. Now, man, I better shut up. Yeah, I wasn't talking to nobody in here, so don't get upset. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're responsible. Take some responsibility for what you have control of. Take some responsibility. Sometimes I think, you know, the old saying, my mom used to say this all the time, my dad used to say, me and my brother get in a fight, and I said, it's him, it's him, it's him. And my mom said this, I bet a million times, it takes two to tango. I hated that. I don't even know what a tango is. Takes two to tango. What is that? I learned up to find out it was a dance that, you know, I was like, I don't even know what we're doing. But I'd get so tired. But it did. You know what? It was either me being a brat or it's him being a brat, but I had my part in it, right? I'll go on before we get into family fights. Verse 6, he jumps to another point. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Man, I like verse 6, but I won't spend too much time there. Take care of your preachers. You don't know. You know why I want to kind of move on from that? Because it's hard to preach when you're the preacher. Take care of your pastor. Take care of your preacher. Take care of people who sow into your life. There's good things that come in the ministry. Let them partake. It's here. Let me break. Can I melt it all down and not spend too much time because it's kind of uncomfortable? But I'll say it anyway. Don't muzzle the ox. Simple. Okay. Good. See why you don't muzzle the ox is because he's knocking out all the wheat. Amen. Listen, every once in a while, big old boy wants to go down there and get him a mouthful of wheat because he's starving, because he's stomping all, you know what I'm saying? Take care of you, the person putting out the food. Amen. That's it. Bottom line. Good? Paul's good, ain't he? He slide that stuff in there on you, and you don't even know it's there. It's just verse 6 just sticking in there. You're like, all right, what does that mean? Take care of them. Hey, if it's good, it's good. Amen? I like that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We're going to jump into some heavy stuff. Are y'all ready? Paul, I know, I love how Paul does this. Paul is such a good teacher. He slides heavy stuff in the midst, like you're doing church business, and all of a sudden he just hits you with this. Be not deceived. He says, don't lie to yourself. Right? God is not mocked. You ain't going to fool God. All right? I'm kind of giving you a translation. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's not talking to a bunch of lost drunks and drug addicts and prostitutes. He's talking to the church. I mean, it's a letter to the church. God is not mocked. Amen? Whatever you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. If your church is sowing crazy, it's because you're sowing crazy. If it's reaping crazy, you sow crazy. Woo-hoo-hoo. If you got turmoil, you got unbalanced, you're sowing unbalanced. Some churches, I've been to church. Well, I wonder why we keep going through pastor, going through pastor, going through pastor. You're reaping. What's your soul? Why do we keep going through congregation? Why do we keep going through people? Why do we have a hard time dealing with individual relationships in a church? Reaping what you're sowing. Amen. I told you it was heavy. Because when I first read that, you did like I did. We went to, yeah, people out there in the world, they start reaping what they're sowing. They getting, we write them, you're getting what you sowed. But hey, the spiritual world, we don't like that, do we? We like to blame. Here's what I like to do. Our church is so spiritual. That's why a lot of people don't show up, because they can't handle our spirituality. You're crazy. You're crazy. Hey, all right? Give them Jesus and give it passion. They'll show up. Amen? But if you treat them wrong, they'll leave. Woo. Imagine that. Man, I'm riding right here. I like this preaching with no kind of filter on. Y'all might talk to me different right after this. So, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. I love this, because y'all want some principles? I wrote these down. I told you, a farmer told me earlier this week, I think it was this week sometime, he said, everybody's sowing something. I thought, oh man, that got my wheels turning, right? Can I give you four good principles? You might want to write these down. If you don't, go back and get to the internet. Listen to this. The principles of sowing. Four good principles of sowing. Y'all want them? Do y'all really want them? Yeah. All right, good. I'll just mess with you. The principal investment, right? There's an investment principle. You reap if you sow. That's the first principle. There's an investment. If you reap, you will sow. All right? It's just one principle. So listen, if you're not reaping anything, it's because you're not. Amen? If you're not sowing into this church, you're not reaping anything from the church. If you're not sowing into relationships, you're not having relationships. If you're not involved in certain things, you're not going to get anything from that. But whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap from. Amen? And that's in this church. It's in this ministry. Well, don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't like the people at that church. I have a bunch of clicks. They all clicked up. Click, 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 click. They click here, click there, click everywhere. Right? Well, that might be a little bit true, but I'm going to be honest with you. But I want to give you this. Hey, some people like to hike. Hey, some people like to work on cars. Hey, some people who like to farm. Hey, some people, and they all got a common reality. They love Jesus and they love each other. But listen, if I walk up, I do feel uncomfortable. So I walk up somebody and they're talking about it's got a double Harley carburetor with a click, 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 bang, bang. And I'm sitting there going, I don't have a clue what these guys are talking about. And I could hang out for another 10 minutes, but it'd wear me out because I don't know what they're talking about. I'm like, yeah, man, what you got in yours? I said, I don't know. I've never opened the hood, ever. I take it down to the oil lube place and they do that. People make fun of me. Preacher came chains on. I say, here's a microphone. You give the next message. Good enough. All right, good, 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 good. I'll change your oil for you. Amen. All right. But anyway, we get into that kind of stuff. I just wanted you to, yeah, I know it. But I want you to see, listen, it's not that they're cliques, there's people that gravitate to one another with certain likes. But if you join, I guarantee most of the time, if you get up with somebody, you talk with them, you'll find out that you like them and they like you and spend time. But let me tell you this, you also reap what you sow. If you come in here, you cross your arms, you're mad at everybody and don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to have nothing to do with nobody, guess what? You ain't going to have nothing to do with nobody. Amen. That's good preaching, Kevin. I appreciate it. The principle of identity, the principle of identity, you reap what you sow, okay? If you reap, if you sow, now you're going to reap what you sow. Now, we just kind of covered that too. Whatever you put in the ground, that's what's coming out, amen? That's identity, amen? Investment, identity. So don't be surprised, whatever it is, oh man, I don't like that. Listen, if you keep getting the same thing coming out of the ground, I'm teaching right here, you better hold on to this. In your mind, you might think you're planting something else. Whoa. But if you keep reaping a different fruit, you're actually putting the seed in the ground that's different than what you think. Whew. We can fool ourselves too, can't we? You just sit there and think, man, I'm doing this and that. But if you keep getting the same situation, if you keep the same toxic relationships, the same feedback, the same situation, you might want to check up on what you're putting down. Oh man, I'd like to go back here and just rip into Donnie right now and talk to him about this. If you went, can I ask, Eric, can I ask you? Yeah, Eric had the same look on his face. All right, now listen, if you went somewhere and you said, give me 100,000 tomato plants, is that fair? And all of a sudden you go out and all of a sudden you start checking and next thing you know, I know this ain't going to happen because you're smarter than that, but you go out and they ain't tomatoes out there, they're something else. Would that be cool? You would go back to the person who sold you the plant or the seed and say, I asked for this, but you gave me that because what I put in the ground is not what's coming out. I have an identity problem. Is that true? Now, he's a farmer. I'm not. I'm just shooting right here, right? You understand? If you think you're putting one thing in the ground and it's coming up different, you might check what you're putting down. Amen? It might be a you thing, not them thing. Everybody think, I ain't got a bad attitude. They can get on me. I'm leaving this and I'm leaving that and I'm quitting this and I'm quitting that. Well, maybe because you're putting out that yourself. Whew. It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I don't know. It's a tough one, but I like it. The principle of increase. You reap more than you sow. And everybody sighed and some of you praised. Amen? I can go back to Donnie, but I know this one. I can get this one out of the park. If you put one plant down in the ground or you put one seed in the ground, you are not expecting to bring one seed back out. If you were, you wouldn't stay in that very long. Amen? You wouldn't be a farmer very long. We're putting one in, one out. Not a good return. Amen? You're putting one in and you're hoping for as many to come out. You want to, well, God, I don't even know, man. Y'all better get me after church. You want a bumper crop? Is that good? I'm all right. I'm in a ballpark. I didn't get what y'all did before this. I'm just shooting from the hip. You want excess. Amen? You want as much as you can get to come out of that one seed you plant. Hey, there is a multitude you put in, and there's going to be more. You're going to reap more than you sowed. That's good when you're doing it spiritual. But it ain't when you ain't. Amen? Anybody in here want to say it ain't when it ain't? When you're sowing to your flesh, you might have sowed one in the ground that was to your flesh. But man, don't it come back and keep coming back. And you're praying for a freeze. Amen? You're praying for a storm, a freeze, or something. God, please destroy this crop that I got coming in. Oh yeah, I sowed it. But I don't like reaping it. But I want you to know the principle of increase is there. Whatever you sow, you think, well, God, is anybody getting this? I hope you get this. You tell one lie, you tell one story, you gossip one thing, you just drop one, oh, I'll just do this one thing, nobody else. You're sitting there. Have you ever got this lady one time I worked with? She was out in the thing. She goes, do you like peppers? And, you know, you can't tell no some people no. You know what I'm saying? She was a nice lady. She goes, I've had a bumper crop of habanero peppers. Do you like peppers? I was like, I do like peppers. She goes, I've got so many. I got peppers coming out of my ears. I'm going to bring you some peppers. I was like, yeah, about three or four. She goes, okay, three or four bags. All right, great. Three or four bags? And she wasn't talking about, she was talking about quart bags or something. She rolled up in there and she had bags. And I ate like two of them. I had stomach ache. I'm like, man, these things are hot enough to set somebody on fire, right? I mean, after a while, you can't even get, because you want a pepper, you want this pepper. No, y'all don't want to. Listen, two habanero peppers, except for this fella right here, amen, would suffice for most people, amen. But for me, praise God, two or three is good, not two or three bags. After a while, I'm like, God, what are we going to do with these peppers? We can't even force them on nobody. Amen? You're sick of seeing them, hearing about them, and you're trying to figure out how to get rid of them without nobody finding out the evidence. Right? Because as soon as you, oh, come on, I don't want to do a whole comic routine, but as soon as you throw them things away, you're going to run into the person who gave you the peppers, and I'm going to say, how are the peppers? You're like, get up in there. You got it? But that's how sin does. I'm telling you, that's how you sin. Now, righteous, that same thing. You're going to reap more than you sow. But if you're sowing to your flesh, let me tell you something. You can still get crop come back years and years. And you got to stand there and say, yes, I sowed that thing. I'm sorry, but I did. So I should tell you right now, stop sowing to your flesh. Because you can reap the harvest you don't even want. Y'all good? Principle of interval. You reap later than you sow. Amen? Not only do you get more, it comes back. Donnie, I ain't gonna, you, if you put it in the spring, you ain't getting it in 2 weeks. You're getting it in, usually I know some things, you're getting it in a month or 2 months or in the fall. And if it was me, I would plant something and forget that I planted it. Right? Oh, we're going to have this. I planted that. Right? I can't believe it survived the weeds. But you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, this is it. You get more. This is how sin really works. You get more than you want, but then you get it in a time that's most inconvenient. Probably when you're filling out an application or a resume or somebody's doing a background check on you for work. Yeah. It comes up in interval. Comes up later than you sowed it. Not in the same sense. Sometimes sin has a way. That crop comes in. You don't ever know when it's going to come in. Right? Man, I hope. I'm telling you. And I know there's two sides of this. There's reaping spiritual benefits too. Amen? I don't want to just leave you with a downer here on, you know, when we're here on church. But I want you to know it works this way too. If you do good and it seems like you go through a season that you're down in the valley, you can reap a crop when you come out of the valley. I've done that a many a time. You walk down and say, hey, man, having a bad time, having a real hard time in your walk. It's dry season. You ain't got a whole lot of fruit in your life. And because you did something a year ago or 6 months ago or 10 years ago, somebody comes in your life. If it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be where I'm at. God, I wish I had about two people who knew I was talking. Have you ever ran into somebody you ministered to and all of a sudden they come back around to you like, wow, I'm just on time. If you hadn't, keep sowing into people's life. I've had some great men that were in addiction. I've had some great men that were in our boys' home. I mean, it just be like timely. I mean, you're sitting around having the mully, I don't like using this word, but just the mully grub. You're just low. Oh, pity me. Wife's mad, kid's mad, you're mad, dog's mad, cat's mad, Bill's mad, 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 mad. I guess y'all don't have the same kind of life I have. But then all of a sudden, somebody, you reap one of them crops that you sow in spirituality. Thank you. You encourage me. I love you. Appreciate you. All right? Somebody write you a card, write you a letter, send you an email, whatever the case may be. Is that good? Does that make sense? Okay. There's your principles. I don't know if I can handle any more of that. Let's go on. Verse 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. I'm going to give you four real quick things, and these are going to be a lot quicker than that, I promise. Four things that the reason I'm not going to get weary in well-doing. Do you have any reasons why you're not going to get weary in well-doing? Do you have any reasons? Let me ask you this. Is there a reason why you're reasons why you're not going to quit serving this church? I make a statement a lot of times when people join this church, when they want to join the church, and they let me know they're going to join the church. You know what I tell them? I say, look, you better be in love with this church. You better be willing to stay here at this church, just no matter what happens with me. Because if you're here for me, then you're here for the wrong reason. Join the church, don't join me. I'm going to be here as long as God wants me to be here. It's a promise. I'll be here. I ain't going to be here 1 minute longer or 1 minute less than what God wants me to be here. And I'm going to do that with all my, that's what, everything in my whole life. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be here as long as God wants me to be here, okay? So fall in love with the church. Love what you're doing here. And this church will always be healthy. That's easier said than done. I'm sorry, but it's true. One reason, people I've ministered to, that's one reason I won't get weary in well-doing. I've preached to a lot of people, and I've ministered to a lot of people, and I've told a lot of people that Jesus is good, and I don't want them. I don't want anybody to ever call and say, where's Kevin at? Oh, he's in jail. He's caught up in a big scandal. He's into this or he's into that. Here's what I want. Here's the two calls. Say, for instance, they called up here at Flat Top Church, and I wasn't here for some goodness reason, right? Say, where's Kevin at? Well, he's in glory, number one. Number two, God's called him into something else. Or hold on, I'll go get him. Amen? That's it. That's the only options I got. Amen? It's the only options I want to have. That's what keeps me going. That's one reason. It's probably one of the least lower ones, but that's one reason. Because I've told other people that Jesus is good, and I don't want that hold over me. I know that people shouldn't put their hopes and trust in you, but if somebody calls, I don't want to let them down because they say, well, if he couldn't do it, then I don't even need to try. That's crazy talk, but think like that. I kind of hold myself right there at that level, okay? Where do you hold yourself? Do you have that kind of reasoning? You've told somebody about Jesus at your work. You've told somebody about Jesus in your community. And if they see you all looped out doing something crazy, then what are they going to say? It wasn't good enough for him. Why would it be good enough for me? And just say, that's something I hold to myself. That's one reason that I'm not going to be weary and well-doing. People who I look up to did it before and had enough trust in me to lay their hands on me in ordination. There's people that I have trust in that I watch walk before me, and they lay down a good path. Listen, this church is here because a generation before us and a generation before them and a generation before them set a good foundation for this church. You, if anything else, why you go to this church, you should say, why are we going to keep this church level? Why are we going to do the right thing at this church? Because some people 100 years ago or longer said, I'm going to keep this right. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it right. I don't want to let it down. I don't want this church to drop on my watch. Amen? It ain't going to drop on my watch. Not, hey, that's what I think a lot. Listen, there's men that told me, they put their hands on me when I was ordained. They said, Kevin, we appreciate you. They've let me preach in their pulpits. I've got heroes. Guess what? I don't want to let them down. Not going to try it. Amen? So that's a good reason. Still not the highest reason, but one of those reasons I do what we do. Do you have some reasons like this? Because you better have some good reasons why you're not going to quit on Jesus. You're not going to quit on the church, because guess what? All heck is going to come against you someday, and you're going to want to quit. Amen? My kids and my wife. She's not here. I can talk about her a little bit. My kids and my wife. My ultimate goal for my kids and my wife is to one day to pass by my casket and say, that man was real at home, and he was real in the church, and he was real everywhere we went. You get the same Kevin anywhere you are. That's what I want. That's the biggest goal. I want them to say, my daddy was a man of God, and he loved us very much. I want my wife to say, he was a real man of God. And I'm shooting for her more than anybody else. Man, because if she don't know it's real, then ain't nobody going to know it's real. Amen? It's all fake and phony. If the one that you chose to be in the longest relationship other than God, if you chose that one, if she don't think it's real, she don't know that you love her, and she don't know that's what's going on, failure. Guess what? I will not be a failure in my own home. It keeps me going. Amen? That's why I'm not going to be weary and well doing. You're mine, okay? Here's your last one. It's easy. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He died on that old rugged cross, me and my sins. He died for me when he didn't have to. He saved me when he didn't have to. He pursued me. I let Jesus pursue me for 30 years. Let me and his family ever give up on him. I'll never sowing, because guess what? Even if I fail, even if I mess up, I'm going to keep sowing, because guess what? He never gave up on me. He never gave up on you either. Amen? Some reason why you're going to quit. Amen? And as they come to the invitation.